himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross.
I saw a mysterious personage in front of me.
Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the affections of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church.
And I saw that my hands and feet had holes in them and were bleeding profusely.
If then we died with Christ,
from that day on, I have been mortally wounded.
We believe that we shall also live with him. By his wounds, you have been healed.
Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ.
Hello, my name is Father Andrew Apostoli. I'm a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. I'd like to welcome you today to our series on Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ. I'd like to give you the greeting of St. Francis. May the Lord give you his peace. Padre Pio is a priest who was extraordinarily blessed by Almighty God, a priest who lived in southern Italy, who never really left for travel purposes his own territory, his own area. Yet he had an influence upon millions and millions of people from all over the world. Padre Pio was a man who spent his whole life ministering to God's people. You see his picture on our triptych in the back, the picture of this great priest who people sought out not only because of the holiness of his life, but also because of the many extraordinary gifts that he enjoyed. People came to him seeking God's favor and blessing, healings and miracles, special needs and concerns. Perhaps some came out of curiosity just to see this holy man. But he was definitely very gifted by Almighty God. We're going to focus on those gifts in this talk, at least the gift of miracles. And I'd like to, though, proceed looking at his miracles by just talking a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Catholic theology, we make a distinction between two kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit. The first kind of what we call the seven sanctifying gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the gifts we read about in the book of the prophet Isaiah, where he speaks about the Spirit, he said, of the Lord has anointed me. And it's the Spirit, he said, which is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, knowledge, counsel, courage or fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. And these seven gifts the Holy Spirit uses in all of our lives as we're baptized and receive the gift of grace. These gifts work in us to make us sensitive to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. They strengthen us in the practice of virtue. They also help us to understand more deeply the mysteries of our Catholic Christian lives. Those are the sanctifying gifts. Now everyone, again through baptism, receives those gifts along with the presence of the Holy Spirit. However, there's another set of gifts of the Holy Spirit that we call the charismatic gifts. These have received a lot of attention in recent years because of what we call the Catholic Charismatic Movement. And these gifts, charismatic gifts, are given to certain individuals. Not everyone has them, because they're not given for the individual's personal growth. Rather, they're given to certain individuals to be used to help others. St. Paul says they're given by the Holy Spirit to help build up the mystical body of Christ. So a person may be given a gift such as the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, other gifts that Padre Pio possessed, which St. Paul doesn't even mention there in his first letter to the Corinthians, gifts like bilocation, the fragrance that he seemed to be able to emit to others. He had other gifts of reading hearts. These gifts were given to Padre Pio, as well as other saintly people, for the purpose of helping others in the mystical body of Christ. Padre Pio, we know, was not certainly the only person to have gifts. His gifts, I mentioned several of them just now, which included their supernatural experiences, such as the stigmata, apparitions, and visions that he had. He wasn't the only saintly person to be given these gifts. others possessed them. For example, St. Teresa of Avila had the gift of the odor of sanctity. St. Anthony of Padua had the gift of bilocation and miracles. These Mormons are saints of miracles. Many other saints also had the gifts of miracles and prophecy. St. Francis had the stigmata and also the gift of miracles. But Tagliatelle seemed to possess all of these gifts. There were very few other saints that had all of them. And he had them, and he had them in an eminent degree. In other words, he used them very frequently, and oftentimes with extraordinary results. So people began to realize Padre Pio is truly a very blessed and gifted individual. Now, some people doubted his gifts. You know, there's always a certain number of skeptical people, and people that take their time before, you know, they would really believe, sort of the doubting Thomases, although I always feel sorry for poor St. Thomas. You know, he missed the meeting, as they say, and, you know, he didn't see the risen Christ. So he called it into question. But St. Augustine said the doubt of Thomas did more for our faith than the belief of all the other apostles, because it gave us that proof that that was truly Christ who had risen by being able to put his finger into the place of the nails in Jesus' hands and his hand into Jesus' side, the wound in the side. So there are always some people that are skeptical. One man said, for example, in all my experiences with Padre Pio, I never observed anything miraculous. Well, you know, saints didn't work miracles 24 hours a day, and usually they only used these extraordinary gifts when the need was there. Otherwise, they used the ordinary means of dealing with people. But as one other person put it, there are so many claims of extraordinary things in the case of Padre Pio. He said about the miracle stories, he said, they can't all be tall tales. And I think that's the common sense approach that one should take. You know, let's look at the evidence and see what is there. You can't just sweep all of this under the carpet. We do know the church, when proving canonization, looks for two miracles, but they're always miracles that are worked after the death of the person, because that's a sign that that person is now in heaven with God. What did the people who lived with Padre Pio say? Well, here's a quote of one friar who lived with Padre Pio. His name was Padre Gerardo di Fumieri. He lived 2 years with Padre Pio. This was his observation. He had human emotions. He was not an angel. He was a human being. He got angry for the same reasons that other people get angry. He was a normal man, sometimes sad, sometimes very happy, sometimes a little angry. What impressed Padre Gerardo most about Padre Pio was his character. Yes, I believe that on occasion he did have supernatural gifts. I've seen it in books, and sometimes he surely had these gifts. But when you spoke to Padre Pio, he was natural. You were impressed by his spirituality, by his obedience, his charity, nothing else. So the people around him didn't see miracles being worked constantly. They didn't see signs of the extraordinary. As I said, these gifts were often used for people who had extraordinary needs. Here's the way one author sums up the way the friars looked at Padre Pio, the people who knew him. But to most of those who knew him and lived with him, Padre Pio was a kind, gentle, devout, and holy man, but an ordinary man. When one friar who lived with him was asked toward the end of his life, "Weren't you thrilled to be living with Padre Pio?" He answered, "The thrill left me after 2 or 3 days. Not because I was disappointed, but because Padre Pio, as saintly as he was just as human as anybody else." And that, I think, kind of sums up the way we sort of look at the saints, people who lived with them, knew them in their humanness. I knew Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And for all the great works of charity that she did, I knew her personality. I knew her as a person. And she was wonderful, a great warmth and joy. But no doubt, Padre Pio definitely had the gift of miracles. And he used this gift when there was extraordinary need to do so. What is a miracle? Well, a miracle is generally something perceived as a direct intervention of God in the natural world. An intervention where it seems that God himself suspends the laws that he put into nature. The Catholic Encyclopedia gives this definition of a miracle, or said these three signs of a miracle. First of all, it must be extraordinary. So there's nothing ordinary working. Secondly, it must be perceptible to the senses. You must be able to see it, see the effect of this miracle. And thirdly, it has to be produced by God in a religious context, which is evidence of his presence. So God works it, in other words, for certain reasons. What were some of the miracles of Padre Pio? Well, again, there are many, many claims of miracles in his lifetime, and by the way, even after his lifetime. I remember a young man telling me he thought he had read that Padre Pio had worked the third most number of miracles of any saint in the Western Church. That's very interesting, because the most known miracles of any saint in the Western Church was St. Francis of Paola, if I'm not mistaken. He had the most miracles. When he died, he was about 90 years old, or at least in his late 80s. The second most number of miracles was St. Anthony of Padua. And St. Anthony died, I believe, he was about 36 or 40 years old. So he worked a lot of miracles in a short period of time. That's why he's called the miracle saint. Padre Pio worked the third most known number of miracles. But there may have been many other miracles Padre Pio worked that have not come to light. But people got in touch with him from all over the world. I'd like to share one little story before we take our break. I received a letter from a woman who told me when she was 6 years old, she was suffering from a very, very severe fever, whatever the nature of her illness was that caused this, I don't remember. But she told me that her mother took her to Italy. Like she was living in the United States. Her mother rushed her over there to Italy, and they went to the hospital that Padre Pio had built next to the friaries, called the House for the Relief of Suffering. And one of the doctors who worked there looked at this little girl, examined her, and said, "There's nothing we can do. This little girl is going to die." But what he did is he went over to see Padre Pio, who was alive at the time. I think the little girl was about 6 years old. And Padre Pio allowed the doctor to touch his wound on his side. And the doctor went back to the hospital where the little girl was waiting. He touched the little girl. As soon as he touched the little girl with the hand that he had touched the wound of Padre Pio, the little girl was instantly cured. The fever broke. She was restored to good health. That would be a miracle. And certainly it had all the signs of being instantaneous, of being something that was visible, the effects of it very visible. And it was worked through the intercession and prayers of a very holy man. We're going to take a break now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to continue looking at the miracles of Padre Pio. You're going to hear about two of the greatest miracles, I think, that have ever been worked.
Padre Pio is a very extraordinary man for me. I have being a non-Catholic, I learned of Padre Pio about 2 years ago, and I just absolutely fell in love with him.
I would like for people who have not read his life, I encourage them, I did that a few years ago, to read the life of Padre Pio, and he will be a great guide spiritually. I got to know Padre Pio initially, the first time when I was a little girl. I had an aunt who traveled to Italy several times to go to confession with them. And she told me that after confession, she would always ask Padre Pio to pray for the family. So initially, I went to Padre Pio as someone who was interceding for my family.
Welcome back to our presentation on Padre Pio. Today we're focusing on the gift of miracles that Padre Pio gave, that God gave to Padre Pio, and that he used to help so many, many people. We looked at one little miracle before our break, but I said I'd speak about some of the extraordinary miracles that he worked. Probably the most extraordinary of all was for a young girl named Gemma De Giorgi. Gemma lived in Sicily. She was born blind because she was born with no pupils in her eyes. Without pupils, you can't see. Gemma was raised by her family, and Gemma had a very devout grandmother who had a great, great trust in the intercession and prayers of Padre Pio. When Gemma was about 7 or 8 years old, her grandmother took her to see Padre Pio. She wanted Padre Pio to bless her little granddaughter. Now, an interesting thing happened as they were traveling from Sicily. They were traveling in Italy. Padre Pio lived in the area. San Giovanni Rotondo was located in the area of what we call the spur. You know, Italy looks like a boot, and it has on the back of that boot a little spur, a little area that juts out into the Adriatic. And those mountains there, that's the Gargano region, the Gargano Mountains. San Giovanni Rotondo was up in those mountains. So the grandmother and little granddaughter were traveling by train along the Adriatic. They were going north from southern Italy. And as they were going along by train, the Adriatic Sea was right there. The little girl looked out the window, and for the first time in her life, she saw something. She saw a boat out in the water, and she told her grandmother about that. Then her blindness came back. The grandmother and granddaughter continued up to San Giovanni Rotondo, and there Padre Pio heard her first confession, gave her her first Holy Communion. And then the grandmother kept asking Padre Pio to bless the granddaughter. In turn, Padre Pio kept encouraging the grandmother to pray to God for the little granddaughter. And he did say to her, remember what your granddaughter saw as she was coming here. Remember St. Paul when he worked one of his miracles in the Acts of the Apostles. He was preaching and he looked out and he saw, I believe it was a crippled man. And he looked at that man and Acts of the Apostles tells us he saw that that man had the faith to be healed. And I guess Padre Pio wanted the prayers and faith of the grandmother. And then he blessed little Gemma. And at that moment, she received her sight. But it's almost like he not only worked a miracle to give her sight, but he worked a miracle that remained continuous because she still, to this day, doesn't have any pupils in her eyes, yet she can see as well as any of us. It's interesting because doctors have studied this little girl's eyes. Many of them were skeptics, anti-clerical types, non-religious, who wouldn't admit a miracle. And they would tell her, you know, you're really blind, you just think you see. And she would tell them, no, I see as well as you do. They wouldn't admit, some of them, that a great miracle had occurred. Yet we do know, all the evidence is there, that an extraordinary miracle was worked. Not only giving sight to the blind, but that this effect of this miracle is continuous because, again, she still doesn't have any pupils in her eyes. Another extraordinary miracle, a second very extraordinary miracle, happened for a little girl here in the United States. Her mother's name was Vera Calandra. Vera's little daughter had to have an operation. I believe her bladder was removed surgically. And the little girl, doctors told her that the little girl would not be able to live properly or live at all. And the mother was so concerned, she wrote to Padre Pio, and it was, I believe, not too long before his death. And Padre Pio wrote back and said to her, come immediately and bring the child to Italy. So Vera took her little daughter, and they went to Italy, and Padre Pio blessed this little girl. And amazingly, doctors who were keeping up with her case after her surgery, I mentioned that her bladder had been surgically removed, began to see the beginning of a new bladder growing within the little girl. And finally, it developed into a normal bladder. And I remember a young man who was close to the family telling me, he said, this little girl had been studied by doctors from all over the world because it was the first time in medical history, I believe, that they had ever had a case of an organ, an internal organ of the body, that was completely surgically removed that ever grew back spontaneously. Well, of course, we know, although we can speak of it growing back spontaneously, but it was through the gift that Padre Pio was given by God, the gift of miracles. It was a miraculous healing that took place. What extraordinary in giving praise and honor to Almighty God. One other miracle that I would like to mention here happened for Pope John, a friend of Pope John Paul II. When our Holy Father was the Cardinal Archbishop of Krakow in Poland, there was a woman by the name of Wanda Potocka who had spent 5 years in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. And after that, Wanda married. She had a family. She had 4 daughters. She assisted the Holy Father, then as Archbishop, in opposing the communists who were then occupying Poland for a number of years, as we know, after World War II. Wanda was diagnosed with a tumor in 1962. She was all set to have an operation to remove this tumor. It would give her, doctors said, maybe 18 months of life. But Wanda decided that it was better that she have this operation because she wanted to be with her children as much as possible, as long as possible. Cardinal Wojtyla, the Holy Father, later on, he wrote a letter to Padre Pio. I should point out that he had seen Padre Pio as a young priest after his ordination. He had spent a few days down at San Giovanni Rotondo. He wrote to Padre Pio, and he mentioned this case in his letter. And he said to Padre Pio, he said, please pray to the Blessed Mother for a cure for Wanda. Because she is a mother of 4 children, and he was pleading her cause because she had been so instrumental in opposing the communists and helping him. When Padre Pio, they say, when he received the letter, he immediately commented, this deserves our immediate attention. And he prayed. And it was like a day or two later that Wanda had to go to the doctors to have one last checkup before her operation. And I should point out that Wanda did not know that Cardinal Wojtyla had written to Padre Pio. But when she got to the doctors and they took an x-ray, the tumor was completely gone. And she was startled. And she thought maybe it had happened to herself. She couldn't imagine what the cause of it was. Later on, Cardinal Wojtyla told her that he had written to Padre Pio asking Padre Pio to pray for her, and a miraculous healing was given. She was totally freed of the tumor, totally freed of cancer. Interestingly, before Padre Pio died, they say that in the friary where he lived, there were 2 rooms there with all of the letters of correspondence over the years that Padre Pio was involved with. They kept these letters. They estimated that there were about 2 million letters, which is a tremendous amount of correspondence. He would, as a private citizen, he received more mail than any other private citizen in the world at one point in his life. That's why he had so many friars around him from all different provinces in the world to assist him with answering these letters in different languages. So these 2 rooms were filled with all of these letters of correspondence. And Padre Pio came shortly before his death with 2 letters to the guardian, 2 out of 2 million. And he said to the guardian, keep these 2 letters. Someday they will be very important. Now, he did that in 1968. Cardinal Wojtyla was not elected Holy Father until 1978. The 2 letters that Padre Pio gave to his superior to keep careful watch over, to preserve them, were the 2 letters from Cardinal Wojtyla, now Pope John Paul II. And what is adds to the importance of this is the fact that after Padre Pio died, I believe it was the Vatican officials said that all the other 2 million letters were to be destroyed Imagine all of the graces and blessings, maybe countless numbers of miracles and favors that people either requested of Padre Pio or wrote letters of thanksgiving to Padre Pio, acknowledging his prayers to have helped them, to have obtained, again, who knows, as I said, miracles, healings, different favors that the Padre might have obtained through his prayers for these spiritual children or these people who invoked his help and intercession. We don't know the Vatican had them destroyed because maybe there were also matters of conscience in there. And so to preserve the sacredness of conscience, they wanted all these letters destroyed. But Padre Pio had given just those two from the Holy Father. We recognize then in the scale of the amount of people who went to him, asking for favors, intercessions, how many wonderful gifts and blessings Padre Pio obtained. The miracles stand out. But there were many other things that Padre Pio was able to do to help people. In our next program, we're going to look at a number of other gifts that Padre Pio had. Gifts like bilocation, or a fragrance, an odor of sanctity, other gifts of prophecy that he used to help people. God bless you.